Sure.
Hi, everyone. My name is Kate Teese, and I'll be reading 1 John 5:1 through 15. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testified, the Spirit, the water and the blood, and the three that are in agreement. We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts his testimony. Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because they have not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. This is the word of the Lord.
Today, I want to just quickly wrap up the series we've been in. Don't have crestfallen faces because Deontay's not up here, okay? He's coming up later. He is going to preach. He promised he would. It's coming. But I want to wrap up the series we've been in 1 John, not actually by looking at the exact text that was read this morning, but by thinking of the big themes in 1 John. So let me admit something right up front. I know that my sermons can sometimes be complicated, particularly for you guys. I know sometimes I can be boring, particularly for you guys. And what I'm trying to do this morning is make it short and sweet and simple. So I want to put it this way. This one is for the kids, okay? Adults, you can listen in, but this is for the kids. And I want to express my thoughts about 1 John with actually four statements, okay? And it's four statements that come out of the epistles of John and four statements that emerge out of the Gospel of John. Not just verses, but statements about what he said, okay? So that's what I want to focus on. First statement. It's this. John says at the beginning of his first epistle, it's true. This whole thing about Jesus, it's true. I was there. I saw it. This is not some sort of feel-good story that's really myth. It happened. I walked with him. I listened to him talk. I watched him eat. I watched him in pain. I watched him hungry. And then I watched him die. I, by the way, John might say, was the last one there. All the other disciples left. They didn't see it to the very end. They believed it, but I saw it. If you take a look at the first part of 1 John, that's in essence what he was saying. Believe what I'm telling you because I was there. It's true. I promise you it is. It's true. It is so true, John might have said but didn't in this passage. It is so true that everyone who was my friend, a disciple, is now dead. Why? Because they refused to deny the truth. They could have told another story and gotten off the hook. That's all it would have taken. They could have said he was just like any other man. They could have said he was angelic, but not really human. But they didn't do that. They told the real story about Jesus, that he was completely God and completely human, and he died and he rose again. Just don't tell the story, said these people, and we'll let you live. And they couldn't help themselves. They had to tell the story because it was true. Second statement. The first is, it was true, I saw it. Second statement. Let's get real and make it practical. You see this in 1 John. This is the way he gets real and makes it practical. He says, nobody is perfect. Your parents aren't perfect. Your friends aren't perfect. Your teachers are not perfect. Your pastors are not perfect. Why are they not perfect? Because we've all sinned. And because we all will. And if you don't admit that, you don't get this whole story. Because everybody, no matter who they are, they need the grace of God. They need forgiveness. So that's why he says at the beginning of the book, for those who confess their sins, God is gracious, he's kind, and he will forgive their sins. And this confession of sins to the one who loves us so much is the thing that gives us eternal life. It's just that profound and just that simple. I saw it. It's true. Let's make it practical. You need Jesus, because we all do. There's something else John says in the first epistle and also in his gospel. When you think of John 3:16 and following, he says, you know, the real purpose, let's get practical, let's be real. The real purpose of Jesus Christ, the real purpose of God was not to condemn you. Not to condemn you. Not to condemn you. His purpose was to give you life. That's incredibly good news. Because if you're anybody similar to me, you carry around the weight of condemnation. You think you're not good enough. You focus on your sins because they are many. But God in Jesus Christ says, that's not the point. I didn't come to condemn you. I came to forgive you. And you know it. So confess it to me. That's a beautiful thing. Second statement is this. John said, beware of fakes. Okay? He might have said, beware of fakes, and the fakes might be people who say they don't need to confess their sins because they're righteous already. That's a fake. But he also says, beware of fakes, because there's people out there that actually use the name of Jesus, but they don't believe in Jesus. It sounds good. But it's not the Jesus that I'm talking about. So be careful of fakes. They're out there, and those fakes are destructive to your faith. Don't listen to them. Keep it simple and to the point. Jesus was the Son of God, fully human and fully divine. And he offered forgiveness and not condemnation. Embrace that. He also showed us a way to live. And John says, that's one way you can tell a fake. You can tell a fake when they don't live in light of God's love. They just live their own way. That's a fake, even though they use the name Jesus. Be careful. You know what else he basically says? He says, Jesus isn't an option among others. There's lots of options out there. Jesus is not one of the options among others. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the light. So keep the focus on Jesus. Fourth thing, John says, you've heard this phrase before, love God and love others. He doesn't just throw out this mamby-pamby word and let it be defined by everyone around us or our culture, this love word. He tells us what love is. He says, this is love, not that God has been loved by you, but that God has loved you. This is love, not that you love God, but that God loves you and gave himself through Jesus Christ as an atoning sacrifice for your sins. That's the definition of love. In other words, you don't deserve it, but you got it. In other words, you can't earn it, but it's a gift. That is love. And then, this is an interesting turn. Then John says, so love one another. Think about it for a minute. Do you deserve love? Your answer inevitably would be no, you don't deserve God's love. Well then, I understand what I'm talking about here, okay? Because I've experienced it 100 times over. Then, whenever you see that person or encounter that individual who it feels like doesn't deserve your love or your friendship, think about God's love. Do you deserve it? No. Do they deserve it? Maybe not. But still, like God, you love them. Still, like God, you love them. Not because they're nice. Not because they don't irritate you. Not because they haven't done anything wrong. Not because they haven't been mean to you. But because God loved you. So you love them. It's pretty simple when you understand the depths of God's love that you realize you have to give it. So the final statement I want to leave you with this. It's actually the last words of 1 John. And it kind of catches people off guard. Because up until now, John hasn't said anything about idolatry. That's all over the Old Testament. But at the very end, his words are about idolatry. And I'll read them from this version called the NIV. John says, verse 21, dear children, first of all, just think about that for a minute. He's not wagging the finger. He's not condemning. He's saying, dear children. In that phrase is essentially, I love you. I love you like my children. Dear children, keep yourself from idols. Isn't that interesting? As you probably know, I like translations of the Bible, lots of them. So whenever it's time to do a sermon, I probably read 10 translations of the same text. And some translations, they just go like word for word, right? They actually use the word idol. And that's good, because that's what the word says. On the other hand, some translations, instead of using one word, idol, they basically define what idol is. And they translate it that way. So John says, "Dear children, keep yourself from idols." The New Living Translation puts it this way. Keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts. That's the definition of idolatry. Whatever it is you're running after, whatever it is that's that important to you, don't let it replace the love of God in your heart. Actually, in Luke's testimony, he said that. He said, "I was finding my identity in other things. And basically, I was moving towards idols." And whether or not he thought about it, he heard John's words. Don't let anything replace God in your heart. So here's what I want to say to you guys, especially the youth. If you want to boil it down to one thing, just one thing, boil it down to that. Don't let anything replace the love of God in your heart. Why? Because he did not come to condemn you. Why? Because he doesn't want to punish you. Why? He doesn't want to be mean to you. Why? He doesn't hate you. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. So love him back. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you love us and that your love has been demonstrated in Jesus Christ. We thank you that that love is preserved for us in the story. We thank you that the story is true. We thank you that Christ our Lord was both human like us and experienced all our struggles, and that he was God in the flesh, so he overcame death for us. There is no higher love, Lord. So help us to love you and to serve you for all eternity. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.